This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Certainly. That's the Champs. You remember them?
Neither do I. But that was a good song. I remember the song.
Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. And along with my buddy, Big Ed Davis, we thank you for joining us. It is Friday, May the 5th. And it's also Cinco de Mayo, believe it or not. And so we have to keep that in mind as we do our show this morning. Got a lot of things on our plate. We're going to be talking in a few minutes with Michael Tanner of FreeOp. And we're going to talk about his warning that the debt ceiling bill passed in Congress does very little to rein in Washington spending or the national debt, for that matter. So stay tuned for that just a few minutes. And another whistleblower has come forward claiming Joe Biden sold out his vice presidency for money. But here's the question. Is the Justice Department and the FBI in on this fix? We're going to take a look and talk about it. So stay tuned for that. And a new Gallup poll says almost half the country is worried about its money in U.S. banks. Almost half of us are worried about it. So we are going to examine the numbers. And in our ultimate top 10, you remember our last show, we did the top 10 best states to live in, according to U.S. News and World Report. Well, we're going to give you the top 10 worst states to live in. So stay tuned for that towards the end of the show. All right. Well, I guess we got some good news on the economic front this morning. U.S. hiring grew in April by more than expected as the labor market remained surprisingly resilient in the face of rising interest rates and higher inflation. Employers apparently added 253,000 jobs in April, and that beats what they projected. Apparently, about 180,000 is what they projected. So that is good news. The unemployment rate also ticked lower to 3.4%. The estimate was going to be that it would be around 3.6%. Now, that normally just means that fewer people are filing for unemployment. That doesn't necessarily mean there's only 3.4% of our workforce that is not working, just so you remember that. But that 3.4% has tied us for the lowest level of unemployment since, listen to this, since 1969. Ed was just a young man back then. A more encompassing number that includes discouraged workers and those holding part-time jobs edged lower. This is maybe a more realistic number, 6.6%. So I guess we got good news. The stock market, I think, has gone up about 400 points this morning. So it is happy with the numbers as well. It says here that professional and business jobs led the gains. Increase of about 43,000 in April. Then healthcare was coming in a second, very close, 40,000. And then leisure and hospitality, about 31,000. So There you go. Now, in the meantime, we got high inflation. We still have a problem getting goods on the shelves. I don't know how you feel about it, but when I go to the store, I can still see a lot of products that just are not there like they used to be. We have a banking situation that's not doing real well right now. And in fact, there's a Gallup poll that is out that talks about it. It says that almost half the country is worried about the safety of their money in banks. Ed, are you worried about your money?
What money?
I didn't actually hear you, and I'll tell you why.
I said, what money?
Yeah. I had to. I'm playing a little game here with my sound because I can't hear myself in my ears. Can you hear it? Yeah, there's an issue here. A little technical glitch, but we are professionals, and we carry on. So let me just tell you about this Gallup poll. It says here, amid turbulence in our banking system, nearly half of Americans are anxious about the safety of their money in the banks and in other financial institutions. 48%, listen, 48% of U.S. adults say that they're concerned about their money. That includes 19% who are very concerned, another 29% moderately concerned. At the same time, 30% are not too worried. 20% are not worried at all. Well, I'm glad to hear that 20% are just kind of rolling along, as it were. Now, this is a Gallup poll. It was conducted during April, almost the entire month, the 3rd through the 25th. And it came right after the Silicon Valley Bank and the Signature Bank collapsed. There's a third bank now, First Republic. But that was swallowed up by J.P. Morgan, if I remember that correctly. But they went bad. Most bank failures, it says here, over the past two decades have been linked to the 2008 financial crisis. And that was the last time Gallup gauged Americans' level of worry about their money in banks. So,
these banks that folded, did their CEOs bail out just before?
Yeah, that's a very good question.
With a nice bonus?
That's a very good question. Let's see if it says. Well, of course, in the Gallup poll, you don't know what the answer to that is. But I've heard that among the reasons for all of this were these people at the top really not watching the door.
They never do.
You know, and being very careless, with the way they were treating the money that was being held by their depositors. So to some extent, I think you can probably look to the top in some of these banks. Now, the question is there a domino effect here? And are we going to see more banks that are going to collapse? And are any of the big banks, you know, if one of the big banks starts to go bad, then we're going to have a panic run. You know, then we're going to have people that are going, oh, my God, you know, I'm taking my money out.
Someday they're going to figure out they were just printing money to print it.
Yeah, well, that is true also. All right. Well, let's do this. Let us take our break. And when we come back, we'll switch gears a little bit. We're going to have Michael Tanner join us from FreeOp. We're going to talk about his warning. Speaking about warnings, that the debt ceiling bill, you know, the one that they passed in Congress, the Republicans, does really very little to rein in Washington spending or the national debt.
Wake up. Wake up.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets. From animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Berhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Berhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network. Ain't it
good to... This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Mustang Sally. Hey, we are back on a Friday. Cinco de Mayo. Ed, do we do anything special on Cinco de Mayo other than do we put on a sombrero? Is it a Mexican holiday, or do you know?
Are you asking me if I'm going to share my tequila? No.
Okay. Well, I just...
It's just an excuse for Americans to go
to the
local Mexican joint and load up.
All right. You know? That's fair. Hey, we have Michael Tanner joining us. He is a senior fellow at FreeOp, and he has written a piece for their website about the debt ceiling bill. And it's taking the wrong path to fiscal responsibility. You know, we have this situation where we're trying to get Congress and Biden to get together and to work out some sort of an agreement so Biden won't veto the bill if it ever gets to him. Michael, welcome back to Freedom Works.
Good to be with you.
Yeah, good to be with you as well. So... you know, we've been patting, or I should say, I guess Republicans in Congress have been patting themselves on the back that they came up with this debt ceiling bill. They claim that they're going to help cut spending with this bill, and that now President Biden needs to sit down with them and negotiate. What say you?
Well, I think they wonder what they're negotiating, because they both want to increase spending. I mean, the Democrats, the Biden budget would increase spending to buy national debt by about $21 trillion over 10 years, on top of the $30 trillion we already owe. So that's bad. Republicans came back, just got a better idea. We'll only increase the debt by $60 trillion over the next 10 years. I don't see anybody out there actually trying to reduce the debt.
Right. Well, it does seem like maybe they're just playing games a little bit. Now, we know that Republicans and Democrats play games with numbers. But they claim that, they're going to cut this, they're going to cut that. And then the Democrats come along and they say, hey, they're going to be cutting benefits for Medicare. They're going to cut benefits to veterans. It's just a big game, it seems like. And then we get nowhere in real cuts. It's always we cut the rate of spending, really, rather than making cuts in spending. Is that right?
Well, you're absolutely right. The actually increased spending by about 1% annually over the 2022 spending that Congress did, and I recall 2022 being known as the Great Death in America, because we were large. The claim that this is somehow slashing spending is kind of ridiculous. On the other hand, the Republican plan joined the Democrats in kind of ignoring the big spending items like Social Security and Medicare, Medicaid, and instead they sort of go after programs for low-income people, which is sort of so I'll cut that type of...
Michael, I think we've got a little bit of an issue with... I tell you what, can we call you back? Can we do that?
Sure.
Or hold on just a second. Ed, because you're breaking up quite a bit, and we're gonna call Michael back and see if we can get a little bit better reception here. We're having all kinds of glitches this morning, Ed. I cannot hear myself in my earphones for some reason. But that we can live with. But anyway, we've been talking about the debt ceiling bill. And if we don't agree on this debt ceiling, we end up defaulting on payment because we've already spent this money, technically, but we haven't collected it. And so this is the problem that we have right now. We got to raise the debt ceiling. And Michael, we're going to try again with you. I'm sorry for the glitch, but this whole process of raising the debt ceiling, is it because we have already spent this money already, and it's just now a matter of having to collect it? Is that how this works?
Well, that's some of it. We collect enough actually to pay the interest and principal that's due on the debt every year. So some of it goes to repaying debt we've already accumulated. On the other hand, some of it also goes to continue spending on, you know, mandatory Medicare and so on. So both sides are partially telling the truth when they talk about what the debt ceiling really is.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Michael Tanner. Again, he's a senior fellow at FreeOp. So what do we do, Michael? What is the solution to all of this? I mean, is there a solution? Are we ever going to bring spending under control ever? I mean, we're approaching $32 trillion in debt. Everybody's winking and nodding. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're going to have to cut programs that people actually like. The problem is that everybody in Congress wants to cut unpopular programs or programs that aren't part of their constituents. They will take Social Security and Medicare, even though they're the two biggest drivers of the debt and the two biggest government programs out there. They say we'll take those off the table, and Republicans say we will defense. So what's left? Well, we're going to go after programs for low-income people, like food stamps, that nature, because that's not the Republican constituency. And, of course, Democrats don't want to cut those programs. So in the end, we end up cutting nothing.
Yeah, but this has been going on forever.
Well, that's how we're $32 trillion in the red.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, somebody's going to have to eventually say that the Social Security concept has to either be completely revised or we have to get the government out of funding retirement programs. Now, being a libertarian, I would suggest that we figure out a way of getting back the money to people that put into it and kind of releasing them from this whole thing. Maybe anybody under the age of, say, 59 will send their money back that they paid into it and tell them that, you know, here's your money. Maybe it will add a little interest to it. Now go and invest it yourself and then tell everybody over that age, we're going to keep you on Social Security and just kind of end the program. Because a lot of people, the younger people, really don't think that Social Security is probably going to even be there for them.
We should recognize that Social Security really has two functions. Part of it is a retirement program, and part of it is a welfare program that directs benefits down the income scale. It ends up not doing either of them very well, that the lowest income people don't receive much in the way of Social Security benefits. They're often left retirement, and wealthy people don't need help in investing retirement funds. They have their own investments in 401ks and IRAs and so on. We end up not being a very good retirement program or not a very good welfare program, but you kind of decide what Social Security is and try to make that work.
So besides entitlement programs, which are maybe form the basis of what we have to revise, do we need to also cut back, for instance, on military and some of these other areas? Will they make any difference at all, or is it strictly entitlement programs that we really have to take a meat cleaver too?
Well, you're going to have to go to retirement, the entitlement programs for sure, because they're about half of all federal spending. If you take Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid, and a large portion of Medicaid, we should recognize, was not to the poor, but to the elderly in nursing homes. We're going to have take a look at those for sure. But it basically, everything has to come under scrutiny. That means we're going to have to look at...
Michael, I don't know if it's us or you, but we're just not hearing any...
Yeah, I'm having trouble picking you up as well.
Oh, okay. There must be a bad connection, Ed, between the two lines here. And now we're hearing you a little stronger. I'm sorry. Would you mind repeating what you just said?
Yeah, I said we're going to have to go after entitlements eventually because they make up half of all federal spending. So you're going to have to deal with that. But everything basically has to be under the microscope. You're going to have to look at defense spending. Surely there's waste and abuse, fraud, and military spending that we can deal with without hurting our national defense. We're going to have to look at things like farm price support, subsidies across the board. We're going to have to look at a lot of options if we want to bring down the debt.
Is there anybody in Washington, maybe Rand Paul, it's about the only guy I can think of that would have the courage to talk about it. Is there anybody else that has any backbone and would talk about it?
Well, there's a handful out there, actually, that talk about it. Ron Johnson in Wisconsin and a few others who have brought this up from time to time, but mostly they want to score political points. And if you look at both the Democratic proposals and the Republican proposal that just passed the House, those are messaging bills. They're not actually serious bills about restraining spending or about helping those who are most in need.
Yeah. Well, so here we are. It doesn't even... apparently, McCarthy, the Speaker of the House, and President Biden are now planning on getting together at some point here, or is Biden really going to be sitting in there talking, or is he just going to be, you know, having his minions sit there and chat with McCarthy? I mean, do we know if we're going to get anywhere, even if this debt ceiling bill isn't going to solve our problems? Do you think we're going to default?
No, I don't think we'll default. I think in the end they'll cobble together some sort of face-saving thing on both sides. They'll do a spending reduction bill and the debt ceiling bill that are two different bills so that one side can say, see, we never negotiated on the debt ceiling. The other side can say, see, we got our spending cut. So I think they'll come up with something like that. Of course, nothing's going to come from this meeting. This is a photo op for both sides. They would just want to be shown meeting. The real stuff will go on behind the scenes, and we probably won't know anything until the last minute. It'll be another one of these things where we're ticking towards midnight, and then they come out with a 5,000-page bill that no one reads, and we'll pass it on a party-line vote or something like that.
Wow. Yeah. And away we go, and the debt keeps getting higher and worse, and... just doesn't seem like we see any answers down the road. Michael, thank you so very much. I'm sorry for all of our glitches here on this talk between us, but I thank you for joining us. Look forward to talking with you again.
Absolutely. Anytime. Thank you.
All right, sir. Michael Tanner, a free op. All right, let us take our break. When we come back, another whistleblower claiming Biden sold out his job as vice president for cash.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hello there, Tampa Bay. This is former NFL and college football coach Jimmy Johnson. Listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can sure use the attention.
And this is former Major League Baseball player, Hall of Famer Wade Boggs. I also hope you listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can darn sure use the money.
Hi there. This is Marine Wildlife Artist and Conservationist Dr. Guy Harvey. Please listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They need to feel worthy.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Why do you
are back. Thank you so very much for joining us. And now I can hear myself. Changed headphones. All right. That's a little bit better. Hear my beautiful voice. My God, I couldn't hear myself. You know, it's terrible when you can't hear yourself talk, especially when you got so much to say. But speaking about something to talk about, what is this, the third whistleblower that's come forward now on Biden? An alleged whistleblower has claimed that the FBI and the Justice Department are in possession of a document that describes a criminal scheme involving then-Vice President Joe Biden and an unnamed foreign national relating to the exchange of money for policy decisions. So this is somebody that says we have a document that's got the goods on Biden. House Oversight Committee Chairman James Comer and Iowa Republican Senator Chuck Grassley say that the whistleblower claims the document includes a precise description of how the alleged criminal scheme was employed, as well as its purpose. And apparently the FBI has the document. It, in fact, it's an FBI-generated document. They call it a Form 1023, which apparently is, you know, the people in the FBI use this form for certain kinds of information that they take down. And it allegedly details an arrangement involving an exchange of money for policy decisions. Now, Comer and Grassley want the committee to get their hands on the document. And the question is whether, A, it really exists, and B, even if it exists, will the Justice Department release the document to the committee? Or, as I've heard, can it kind of poof, go away? The document, I mean, and disappear. Well, there's all kinds of things that could occur. Let's see here. I'm just reading a little bit more on this thing. Apparently, shutting down any concerns that the respective agencies may refuse to hand over the document in question, these legislators think that subpoenas will be expected soon in an effort to get those documents into the hands of the committee. So, in the meantime, this time, I don't know, I still am not hearing much from the mainstream media talking about this. Now, Fox News is talking about it. They talk about it almost 50% of the time on Fox, but you don't hear any of the other mainstream medias bringing it up very much. So I guess the fix is still in when it comes to protecting Biden. But I don't think they're going to be able to hold this down too much longer. It really doesn't seem like they can. In the meantime, our beloved Governor DeSantis and the Republicans here in Florida have passed a new education bill. And there's been, as you can imagine, all kinds of people, mainly from the unions, I suspect, that are upset. It says here, protesters flooded the office of DeSantis in Tallahassee after the Republican legislature passed what were called sweeping education bills. Now, the first piece of legislation that they passed keeps students and teachers from being forced to use pronouns that do not correspond to a person's biological sex. So they can apparently address that person as they see fit. Other legislation, let's see, is there another one here? Well, other legislation working its way through the legislature in the Capitol, state Capitol, would ban schools from teaching about gender identity and sexual orientation up to the eighth grade. I guess once you get into high school, you're able to talk about it. I would say, you know, people are going to talk about it. At a certain point, kids are talking about sexual things. But the first three or four grades, there's no reason to have that kind of stuff forced on the kids. So anyway, that's what's going on there. Now, Ed, I want to ask you something about this. Remember that woman speaking about LGBTQ and all those things, that woman in Nashville that got into that school and started shooting the school up? Do you know that she had a manifesto?
Yes.
Okay. And did you know that the manifesto has not been released yet?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah. Well, the National Police Association is asking the same thing. And they are among other groups that are suing to make the manifesto and other materials that this woman wrote public. Now, there are a lot of people saying, well, maybe there are certain things here and we're protecting certain. You know, I think that the public deserves to know, and especially the families of those victims deserve to hear the manifesto.
Yeah, that's
make
the,
it available.
The same one that the news entities said do not label as transgender.
Yeah, right.
We'll just call it the shooter.
Well, anyway, the National Police Association, they call themselves NPA, filed a lawsuit against Nashville and the county where the shootings took place to make this woman's manifesto public. Authorities have held on to the materials during their ongoing criminal investigation. As you may remember, the woman killed three kids and three adults when she went into that school. It was a Christian school in Nashville. The Tennessee Firearms Association also filed an administration appeal for the materials. So I don't know where this is going to go. I think eventually they're going to have to release it. It's been over a month since this occurred. So anyway, that's what's going on with that situation as well. Let us see here. What else can we talk about, Ed? We got a... Oh, you know who Marianne Williamson is?
Sounds familiar.
Yeah, she's one of the candidates on the Democratic side that's running for president.
Okay.
She's kind of a, what would you call, a spiritual butterfly type of... do you remember when she was running? She ran last time.
Okay.
In the Democratic primary. She was one of the first ones to float away, by the way. She's an author, and she's a presidential candidate. I saw her on Fox last night. I think it was on Sean Hannity's program she came on. And she expounded on her insistence that Biden agree to stand up and debate her and her other primary presidential rival, Robert Kennedy Jr. She thinks that Biden should stand up and not hide from them. Now, Biden has said very little, and, you know, he's made... You know, Biden is virtually... Have you noticed he's kind of disappearing even more, if that's possible? I hardly ever see him anymore.
I've kind of... I don't know about anybody else, but I've kind of noticed in the past couple of months a very serious decline in the way he walks.
Yeah, I think so.
And the way he talks. I mean, he's not like he was even a year ago, where at least
it's a
he
physical
was,
decline.
At least he could come out and do things. Now it's like all behind wraps, and, you know, now he's going to be off for vacation again.
I think just in a year or two, you can see a noticeable decline in his...
They're really going to have to nurse this to the end. I mean, I thought by now they would have put Kamala Harris in there somehow to have Joe gracefully step away. But they're so more afraid of her than anything else.
Do you think that his wife is running him? Maybe she's more of a president than he is at this point.
I don't know about that. I think there's probably a group of maybe three, four, five that are making our decisions right now.
I used to think Susan Rice was one of them, the former national security advisor under Obama.
I think it's...
But she quit the campaign.
I think you probably...
She quit the department, rather.
Probably have somebody in the military. somebody in the financial sections, foreign affairs, stuff like that. Probably, like I said, a group of maybe four or five that
are getting
together.
Wouldn't you think the mainstream media or the people that surround Biden would pick up on who it is?
Well, I'm sure they know.
Why don't they say it? Why don't they come out and say, look, Biden is being run by these people.
You can't.
Why not?
You will find yourself out of the loop if you do that.
You think?
Yes. I mean,
So you got to play the game, or they throw you off the bus.
I can tell you just in sports. Let's use the Buccaneers. The 20-some years that I've been in that loop, that I have seen guys that go rogue, and they're out. In other words, if you're not respectful to the player, or you have this crazy idea that you're starting to spread, they'll find a way to move you out. You won't find yourself getting a press credential, which is what they live on.
I mean,
they
got
to be
right
in there. That's up to privilege to be in there.
Yeah.
In that Oval.
So they intimidate you in the press room.
They absolutely.
Kind of blackmail
absolutely.
You.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, it's very sad. And so Williamson is saying, come on, get out. Let's debate. You know, let's have that that primary debate. You know, that Trump was saying that he was thinking about not having a debate, that he was so far ahead of everybody else in the situation. But I'm now getting I think I read somewhere where Trump is rethinking that he will, and you know, be involved in the Republican primary debates.
Oh, I think so, yeah. But I don't think Biden will be in any of them.
You don't think he will? Okay.
I don't know. You got to remember, that's what, I'm going to be about a year away?
Yeah, we've still got a long way to go.
Imagine what can happen to him
long
in a year.
Way to go.
I mean, he's not going to get better.
No. And, you know, the primaries debates are a long way away, too, actually. So, but, you know, it's interesting to talk about this kind of stuff at this point.
I mean, as bad as he is now, he wasn't that bad before. I mean, he could never go toe-to-toe again with Trump. Never.
Mm-hmm.
Or anybody else, for that matter.
No, I wouldn't think so.
I mean, beyond asking him what he had for breakfast, I'm not sure he could give a straight answer.
Now,
and that probably wouldn't even be straight enough.
I think they're hoping that he can rally for an hour and a half, you know, and they'll keep him under wraps, and I don't know what kind of drugs they'll give him, that they can then go out for maybe an hour and a half and get in front of an audience and do a debate. But he'd have to have all kinds of cards and maybe people whispering in his ear.
Well,
I don't know what they would do.
That's illegal.
I know. That would only confuse them more, by the way, you know, to whisper. It's hard enough to think for yourself, but if you've already got a problem and someone's whispering in your ear, then you'd really be in trouble.
Can you imagine him, like, speaking and then all of a sudden just his thoughts in his mind come out loud, and when he's speaking, he says, I don't know, I hear voices in my head.
Somebody says, do this, do that. What's going on?
Stick to the prompter. Stick to the prompter.
I think I'm being visited by a spirit. that's kind of funny. Let's take our final break here, my friends. When we come back, we still got some stuff, believe it or not, that we want to talk about. Among them, did you know the Coca-Cola was thinking about targeting pro-life states? What is a beverage company doing getting involved in politics like that? We're going to talk about it.
Is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's TAN Talk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
Hey, You new to the area or just want to know about the best hidden gems and upcoming events? Stay tuned. Be Local Buzz with Devin takes you to these places, introduces you to the best businesses, and tells you about upcoming buzz. Preset your radio to Tan Talk 1340 AM or 106.1 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. That is the Be Local Buzz with Devin on Tan Talk 1340 AM and 106 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. Looking forward to speaking with you.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
So there was this Marine in the subway, I think it was in New York, that tackled this homeless guy that had been scaring a bunch of people, and he got this homeless guy into a chokehold, and eventually the homeless guy died. Now, the city at first decided not to press charges against the Marine, but now, because of a backlash, they're thinking about it. Did you follow that, Ed? Did you hear about that story?
Yeah, I've heard about it. Now they're threatening to burn down Manhattan.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. Now we're going to be intimidated again by, if you don't do what we ask you to do, we're going to go out there and start destroying property again.
We keep being told to protest. If you want to protest, to do it calmly and do it by the book. But these ones that go out there and start burning things and looting places, why does this go untouched?
I know. It's always it's almost like an excuse to go out and do it, right?
I'll tell you what. You know, Trump is going to be indicted from some BS charge, and they got half the military there.
Yeah. Yeah, it does seem like a waste.
Weeks before, they're putting up guardrails. They've got extra police and military on the job. Nothing happened, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But this goes, they're out there. And
they're going to let them do this.
Is there no justice, no peace. Justice, no peace.
Yeah.
Where were those people in the subway when the man was throwing garbage at people and spitting on them and harassing them?
If you were the district attorney, would you want to try this guy? Okay, or would you allow this to go?
I don't know enough about it. Okay. I didn't see it.
Yeah.
But from what I've seen and heard, which is a scary thing because it's hearsay. But anyway, the man that subdued him, the Marine. Listen, this guy was in the military, okay? I would trust his judgment to try to restrain somebody. And if this guy on the ground was not letting go or was biting him or whatever, and the man was trying to get him to stop.
Technically, the Marine had been threatened
himself by this guy. It's not any kind of a murder or homicide, if they want to put it. They want to give it a technical term. I mean, I don't know. It could be battery or something. I don't know if you want to give him a lesser. So what does that say? What are you telling people now? If there's a guy out there harassing people, throwing people, spitting at people, throwing garbage on them, that you just stand there like a rock?
I do think that I can understand that there should be an investigation, and they shouldn't just immediately say, hey, we're not going to do anything.
Yeah, unless that's the thing.
It is so obvious. And I'm not sure it's that obvious.
We can't go through due process because we've got idiots in the street that want answers now. We want judge, jury, executioner now before we're done with our riot. Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry, protest.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's indicative. The subway system, I don't know. I wouldn't want to ride the subways. I wouldn't want to ride the subways in any major city. It's because of the culture that is now.
But what does that say then?
That's my point.
I mean, we're not talking about just New York.
No.
We're talking about Chicago.
We're talking about all the
big cities. San Francisco.
All of the cities that have subways that are major cities. Would you want to ride them by yourself?
Maybe restraining this guy and ultimately what happened would make the next guy think twice about starting something like that, you know?
But the whole culture now, you know, that, I mean, these are things that a couple of generations ago, people would never have thought twice. They get on the subway, they get on the bus, the trolley, whatever it was.
Exactly.
They never had this. Never. We were more civilized. We're not civilized anymore. We've allowed a culture of uncivilization to permeate this country. It starts perhaps with the rioting in the streets.
Yeah.
And then it seeps into everything else. Now people wander into stores, grab things, stroll out. And these cities say, well, if it's under a certain amount of money, we're just going to let them go. Well, what does that do? That encourages even more people to do it.
I mean, right? I see videos of people beating the crap out of somebody.
Yeah.
And there's no justice
there.
No, there
are people filming it, but they won't step in and stop it.
And here you got a guy
it.
who's trying to keep people safe
it seemed
until
to.
The police get there.
Yeah.
And, you know, listen, you get that guy on the ground, you don't know if he's got a knife in his back pocket.
Right. I agree.
I mean,
now, I think that they can...
When you try to restrain somebody, you're putting your life in danger right then and there.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're going to feel, the person that's crazy or whatever, going cuckoo, they're going to feel that their life is in danger.
Sure.
And you're going to feel your life is in danger. And to me, all bets are off.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're not talking about a fight at a birthday party here, folks.
No. True. Now, I want to get this Coca-Cola thing kind of interesting. Coca-Cola shareholders have voted against a proposal to conduct a survey into how state laws restricting abortion impact the company's business performance. What? How does drinking a Coke
Coca-Cola?
Have anything to do with abortion laws? Why would you want to do a study on that?
Yeah.
What kind of... See, this is where the diversity department is looking in Coca-Cola. They hire some diversity guy or woman, and they're looking for something to do.
Let me give Coca-Cola some free advice here, or they can send us a check. Coca-Cola execs, I want you to pick up the phone and call the execs over at Bud Light.
Get out of politics and stay out. You don't need to get into that stuff.
Remember when we were marketing a product or whatever, we just decided, do we want it to go for women or men, age 21 to 40 or 40 to 80? Now we got to decide whether it's this birthing unit or that birthing unit.
Yeah. Well, thank God the shareholders seem to have more common sense than some of the people inside
exactly.
of the administration.
That's the way it's supposed to work, Paul. Yeah. When you got shares, I would
exactly.
keep an eye on what's going on because some idiot gets an email and decides, oh, we got to change everything
that's
now.
Why, that's why...
Coca-Cola.
That's why we want the public's direct involvement in stocks and in bonds and everything else. Okay, before we get to our top 10, I did want to talk with you, Ed, because I see that our beloved Tampa Bay Rays are continuing to surprise everybody. They played the very mm-hmm. good Pittsburgh Pirates, and they swept them. Last game was very exciting, but their pitching is coming through, and I'm beginning to think they... For heaven's sake, they're the best team in baseball right now.
Well, they are the best team in baseball on paper, but now they proved it on the field because, you know, there were people saying, well, they beat a bunch of teams that don't have a very good record right now. But those teams that they beat are beating very good teams right now. And then you bring in the Pittsburgh Pirates coming to town. They are the second best team in baseball. So what are you going to say? They were beating people that they shouldn't have beat? No, you put the two together and who came out? I was hoping for 2 out of 3. And the Rays sweep them.
And they sweep them. Now, I got a question for you. The Rays have been playing almost all their games at home, which leads me to the supposition that because the cold weather cities are going to Miami or, you know, coming to Florida and some of the warmer climates, that early in the season and late in the season, teams like Tampa are going to be hosting. And then maybe in the middle of the season, the Chicagos and the New Yorks and the Baltimores and the Toronto, they're all going to be playing more of their home games. Is that true? Is that the way the schedule, because of the weather?
Yeah, I think everybody gets the same amount of home games.
I mean, how many games have the Rays played so far on the road? Can I count them on one hand?
No.
Okay, they went to Chicago. Where else did they go?
They went to Washington.
Okay. After that.
E6. I believe there's...
Most all of them are at home.
I want to say they've been to 10 on the road, is what I want to say.
Well, how many have they played at home?
I don't know. They're 26-6 right now.
So that's 32.
Yes.
So that's 22 at home. That's more than twice as many at home. That's what I'm saying. Now, maybe it's just a fluke in the schedule. Or maybe there is, you know, they say, look, rather than playing in Boston...
All right,
you know,
ready?
In April.
Our crack department is here right now.
Okay,
ready?
Yeah, they are
our research department that we pay a lot of money to.
All right.
The Rays right now are 17-2 at home, and they are 9-4 on the road.
So that's
so they have
19
played,
and 13.
I said 10 games.
Right.
They played 9 games. They lost 4 of them.
Okay. They're 9-4 on the road?
Yes.
And 17-2 at home.
Exactly.
So it's, 19-13. All right. That's not too bad. I must have missed them.
By the way, the Yankees are in town this weekend.
Oh, that'll be fun.
Yeah, Friday, Saturday. I'm sorry.
Should have a good crowd.
The Yankees that are at the bottom of the American League East
right.
are in town.
They're in town, right.
Yeah.
Well, it's still, do you think they'll draw a goodly number of fans?
Well, let me put
right?
it this way. They opened up the upper deck, the third deck. It's sold out already.
Oh, wow. Okay, good. All right, Ed, it is time for our top 10. Now, the last time we did the top 10 best states in the U.S., according to U.S. News and World Report, we're going to do the top 10 worst.
Did we just hand it to Chicago? I mean, to...
not going
to
tell you.
To California and cut the time?
Ain't going
to
tell you. You're going to have to guess what's number one.
Okay.
So you better be vigilant and listen to the other 9.
All right.
Here we go. Top 10 worst states in the U.S. Number 10. Michigan. Now, again, these are rankings analyzed statistics tied to more than 70 metrics across 8 categories, such as health care, education, and natural environment. All right. Michigan's number 10. Number 9. South Carolina. Poor old South Carolina. I don't know why. I guess things aren't going well there. Number 8. Hey, I used to live here, little boy, for a year or two. Oklahoma. Number 7. Alabama. I used to live there, too. I lived all the bad places.
I'll have to keep that quiet.
I know. I liked living in Auburn, Alabama. Yeah. I really did.
Oh, Auburn? No, all right.
It's a college town, you know.
Yeah.
Wow. Number 6, Arkansas. So we're starting to float around in the southern states
yep.
here, are we not?
Yeah.
Okay. Number 5, Joe Manchin's state, West Virginia. Good old, they always end up in a bad, they always get bad reviews. Poor West Virginia. Number 4. And this is another one that tends to get bad reviews. New Mexico. New Mexico. I guess not much going on in New Mexico.
I've never heard anybody say to me, I'm moving to New Mexico.
I guess not.
Yeah.
They have Navajo Indians there.
Well, I don't know any Navajo Indians. Otherwise, I'd know some.
All right, number 3. Back to the South, Mississippi. That's another one that gets a bad review on almost every
boy, it's right in that southern area.
Yeah.
Yeah,
poor old Mississippi. Number 2, Alaska. Ha!
Wait a minute, I thought that was one of the best states.
No,
for credit alone.
No, it was not. I'm looking down the top 10 of the best, and it was not. No.
Well, Alaska
it's the
was,
second
what
worst.
Was, Alaska was great for something. It was number
well,
one.
Well, we
for
got
something.
The oil. Let's see what else. It would be great for if you want to be climbing mountains and
maybe it was employment or something like that.
In the energy field, there you know, and fishing that would be it. All right, Ed, were you listening? Do you have any idea? I'll give you a hint. Go back to the South.
Louisiana?
Bingo!
Really?
Yeah, it is. Louisiana.
Really?
The Big Easy is also considered the Big Sleazy.
They obviously haven't been to Bourbon Street.
No. Well, maybe they have been to Bourbon Street.
Yeah, and they'll never go back.
These days they decided, boy, things are bad here. Anyway, that's it. Thank you so very much for listening. I hope you have a wonderful Cinco de Mayo and a good weekend. We will be back on Monday. But remember, freedom works.
Hear the drums echoing tonight. She hears only whispers of some quiet.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.
And a happy Friday, Tampa Bay. Big Ed here on the Tan Talk Radio Network. Let's take a look at your Bay Area forecast for Cinco de Mayo. Expect a high of 82 degrees today. Overnight low tonight, 70. And tomorrow's highs for Saturday, 85 degrees. A bit warmer. Humidity starting to creep back also. Sunset this evening is at 8:08. Now, here's the latest of CBS News.